from our Lord Jesus Christ. It is our desire here at Refuge and Strength that you would enter into the Lord's rest and be empowered with His might. To help strengthen you in the inner man, our pastor, Elder Dwayne Cook, has delivered an anointed word. Please receive it and be blessed.
Somebody say hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Before we get into the word, I just want to say one thing about the city. I did bring a couple with me. If the Lord lays it upon your heart to get one, you can see the Elder Randall or his wife. Raise your hand. Amen. Amen. They're $10, but the Lord laid it upon my heart, and most of these songs on here, they're worship songs. They're worship songs. And the Lord, many times with mostly all of these songs, they were impromptu songs. I just put them together because we were in worship, and I had to run home and lay them down because they came out of the spontaneity of just being an atmosphere of worship. And this project actually is instrumental, and is good for worshipers, those that really want to get before the Lord, those that want to, when you get off work and everybody got on your nerves, you can throw it in. And there's one sermonette that I have on here. It's called Exhortation Number 7. And actually, the Lord spoke to me about that one, and that's the one that most folks like anyway. But such things as my rest, everlasting love, peace in Him, eternal life, mellow meditations, heavenly jam. There's some on there for when you really want to get into praise. Amen. City of God, worship, and face to face. And it is a blessing. It is a blessing because it is ordained and given by God. So I just want to just be a blessing to you, and wanted to be a blessing to your pastor and give him one. But if you want to get on the same worship plane as he is, you need to get the same thing. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Now let's get into the word of the Lord. Amen. Genesis 22:8. I'm going to give you two different places, actually, one in the old and one in the new. Genesis 22, 8 through 12. Genesis 22, verses 8 through 12. I just wanted to say that while you're getting that, and then Philippians 3 and 10, you should know that. Amen. Genesis 22, 8 and 12, and Philippians 3 and 10. I just, while you're looking for that, I just want to say that it is, once again, an honor to be in the house of the Lord with my friend and one who is a mentor to me. Amen, amen. Who has done great things. I just thank you once again for inviting me over to your house. Amen. And it's an honor to be invited the first time, but it's more of an honor to be invited back. Amen. Hello? Because sometimes you get there and folks say, okay, well, we thank all you for coming. Go. Amen. So I just count it an honor, and I thank you once again, amen, for inviting us to worship and to fellowship with you. My wife is here, and bless the Lord for her and our kids, and I hope my son will not preach along with me today just for this time. Amen. 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 But let's look into Genesis 22. Does everyone have it? Amen. Let us read it all together. And it says, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord talked unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And we go to Philippians 3 and 10. And it says, that I may know him. That I may know him. That's my desire, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I just want to talk to you for a little while about blessed through the test. Blessed through the test. You may be seated. Blessed through the test. Is it all right if I get a little comfortable? Amen. Amen. Blessed through the test. And in the NIV, it's the Philippians 3 and 10 says, I want to know Christ. Not I just want to get saved. Not just I want to make it in. If I can just make it in and if I can just see the pearly gates. No, but Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power. Some folks, and sometimes we found out that it wasn't really till we got a little introduced to what is called full gospel or Pentecostalism that we even heard anything really about the power and really understood that we can't have power. But Paul was saying, I want to know Christ. I want to be saved, but I also want to know the power. He says that I may know him, that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And so as I was really meditating and I was letting the Lord speak to me about some things, he said, well, my people need to be encouraged and they need to understand that we are blessed through the test. We're blessed through the test. We all want to be blessed. The best way to get a shout and the best way to liven the folks up is to just ask, how many folks want to be blessed? Let me see a show of hands. How many folks really want to be blessed? Now you get a lot of, oh, hallelujah. Yeah, some have been blessed. Some is in the midst of a blessing. Some is waiting on a blessing, but you can get somebody in one of those categories when you start talking about blessings to the saints. And everybody wants to be blessed. Everybody wants to get the favor of God. The favor of God. Everybody wants some prosperity, something that God has in store for them. And whatever it is that God has for me, I know it's for me, but I don't just want it to be mine and have my name on it, but I want to get it. I don't want it sitting somewhere on shelf in heaven. I want it to get down here. And so you can always get some agreement with the saints when you start talking about who wants to be blessed. Now, the problem is many times we may be mistaken about the process of getting the blessing. Everybody agrees on what they want, but not everybody really has tapped into or understands the process to being blessed. I taught and I preached a message about the process and that God has a process that he has to take us through, because what you really need to understand is, though we look at the blessings, though we think we know what we really want, let me say that, though we think we know what we really want, sometimes God holds some things back because he knows that if we got what we asked for at the time that we asked for it, it would mess us up rather than bless us. We ask for some things and we aren't even prepared to handle it. We ask for some things because maybe we've seen somebody else who has it, and we hear in the churches we have through the years, he says, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. And you say, well, he did it for them. Why isn't he doing it for me? Because it's not your time yet. But God wants to bless us. So let us not think that it's that God is trying to play some game with us and show it to us and give us visions. And I don't know know how many of you have had God show you something or drop something in your spirit, and you know that God wants to do it. You know that God wants to bless you with it. And then you got to wait. All right, God, you showed me this month. Okay, we wait 30 days. God still ain't showed. We wait 3 months. We say, okay, well, something must be held up in FedEx or something else. And so I'll wait 3 months. 6 months down the road, we start to get to wavering. Maybe it wasn't God. And so then we stop walking in the pathway that would lead us to the blessing, because we think that God, when he says now, we think God's now means I now. Yeah, see, but God stands outside of time, so actually all things are now. Hello? All things. He's looking at the end in Revelations as just as much as he's watching Adam and Eve pluck that fruit. He's looking at it all at the same time. And so when God says something about now, we need to get into the spirit and find out, what does his now mean? When is it? How is it? What do I need to do, God? Not just sit there waiting on a blessing, but God did, in the interim period of him speaking the blessing, and we receive it in the middle of that. That's many times where we are, right in the middle. That is the time of preparation. Because now, T.D. Jakes had a message out years ago. Can you stand to be blessed? Can you stand to be blessed? And if you ask folks, the moment that they pray for the blessing, everybody thinks they can handle it. I don't care how spiritual you are. When you ask for the blessing, when you ask for the thing from God, we many times really think that I'm ready for it now. Bring it on, God. I'm here. I'm ready. I got my mitt. I got everything. I'm all ready. And God holds on. When he holds off, he's really telling us, prepare. Because whatever we ask for, God actually wants to do more than what we ask for. He will do more, exceeding, over and above. He will top it. All that you could ask or think. So whatever you can pray for, you better shoot for the moon. Shoot for the stars, because God's going to do more than that anyway. But the key is this. When he does bless you with it, you got to be ready for it, because a blessing can turn into a curse. Do I need to tell you about when the children of Israel were out in the desert and they had started murmuring and complaining as they usually did, and the Lord caused the fiery serpents to come out and bite them, and folks started dying. They died by the thousands, and God told Moses to make a brazen serpent, and that whosoever believed and looked upon it in faith would be healed. How many of you know that was a blessing? If you're destined to die and somebody brings a remedy, that's a blessing. Well, how many of you know, going down into about 400 years later, the thing that was a blessing became a curse, because in the time of Hezekiah, they started worshiping the blessing. The blessing can quickly turn into a curse when you lose focus. And so now we want the blessing, but we're mistaken about how we're going to get it. And we start doing spiritual warfare, and we get the hang of the things that God has for us as far as spiritual warfare, casting out demons. And we think that because the blessing has not come, we think that the enemy is the one that's holding it up. And we start rebuking the devil. And that's good. I'm not trying to dissuade it, because, yes, the devil will send his emissaries and other ranking demons to try to hold up your blessings, as he did for David. Yes, that is a fact. But not always, when your blessing is held up, is it due to a demonic attack. God's trying to get you ready. God's trying to get you ready. God's trying to get us ready. So we need to learn this one thing. Everybody say patience. Patience, 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 patience. Now, while we're patient, we need to be in peace while we're patient. We need to be in peace while we're patient. Not fighting so much the devil till we don't have any peace in our mind. I've seen some folks get into spiritual warfare, and they so busy fighting, they don't even have peace. I got to fight the devil. And everything that happens, it could be just something that happens because we live in a world that is affected by the sin that was the original sin. There's stuff that just happened. Everybody say it's the devil. You're not in peace. But even when you're in war, in the spirit, you need to be in peace. And so what we need to understand is that God is not playing games with us. God is not trying to make us go into test. And really, while you're waiting for the blessing, you're actually in the test. A test is not always something negative. A test is not always something that hurts physically. But while you're waiting on the blessing, you're in the test. The test is inevitable. Can we just really settle our minds on this? There's no way around the test. Because that's the process that God brings us to blessings. I like what the sister said earlier. She said basically that they looked at the problem as a dead end. But did you catch what she said? She said they need to see what was on the other side of the dead end. So whenever you're in a test, you need to stop focusing in on the test and focus in on what's the other side. Focus in on the blessing, because at the end of every test, God wants to give a blessing. But that's only if you pass the test. And the problem is this. Many times, even in saints, we look at God holding back the blessing from us. And many times, even if we don't say it, sometimes we then begin to treat it as if God is unfair. Or as if God is just flashing a little trinket in front of us, and just when we try to grab for it, he pulls it back. And we think God sometimes is playing games with us. He's playing with my emotions. He knows how much I want this. Why don't he give it to me? And we throw these temper tantrums because we don't really understand what the test is all about. God is not some spiritual Santa Claus whose job is just to pass out things to keep us happy. Hello? We go into prayer as if we're Aladdin. When we need help, we rub the bottom of the jar. Hello, the lamp. And we pop them out when we need a blessing. I've used up that wish. Now get back in your lamp. Oh, I'm not getting no help in here. Hello? A steady prayer life is sometimes neglected because we're so busy looking for the blessing. And God is trying to send us through the test because he knows what's going to benefit us. He knows what is really going to come out. And he's not trying to keep us happy. He's trying to make us godly. I don't know if you knew that. God is not. Let me say that again. God is not trying to keep us happy. The whole point is, he's trying to make us godly. And so, in James, the first chapter, he had to tell us, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into temptation. When you're in the test, when it don't feel good, when you're stressed, when you're pressed down, when it seems like you're about to break underneath the strain, God says, rejoice. Continue to have your joy. Stop walking around. Yeah, you're feeling fine when you got that new car, you testified, jumping all over everybody, stepping on folks' toes. But now when you go through the test, we can't get a hello out of you. We can't get a praise the Lord out of you. We can't. Sometimes, for some saints, we can't even see them. They don't even come to the house of the Lord because God ain't been good to them. But he says something very strange. And if you don't really understand what God is really saying and how we are to really look at things, you will think that James has lost his mind. He didn't hear from God. What do you mean, praise the Lord? What do you mean, have joy? What do you mean, continue to bless the Lord while you're going through temptation? I'm hurting here. How can I praise the Lord when I'm hurting? Come on, how many of us get real with God? We have times when we just let it all out. And you know what? I found out that God sometimes would rather us be real with him. Hello? I don't know about you, but I've had times when I just let it all out. I was like, God, this is unfair. God, this is unfair. I don't know why you're doing this. I'm not saying that you don't know what you're doing, but I'm just telling you how I feel. And God is saying, thank you. Somebody's going to be real with me. Because what happens is, if you try to keep this religious facade and keep everything built in, what you'll end up doing is you'll end up blowing up on the other saints. Hello, because it's like a pressure cooker. You got to let it out somewhere. And I like something. I like, I was watching Saving Private Ryan. And it was interesting. There's one thing that was interesting in the story. Tom Hanks was the leader of this platoon, and the men were saying, why are we on this mission? Why are we on this mission? You know, we ought to turn around. This guy ain't important and everything. And then one guy asked the lead character, he said, well, don't you ever complain? He said, yes, but all complaints always go upward. Hello? That's why Moses never got in with Joshua and Aaron and started complaining. These folks, oh my goodness. He always went to the tabernacle and fell on his face. Because all complaints always go, hello? When you're in the test, God sometimes will bring stuff out of you. And you'll think that, oh no, I trust God. Oh, I trust God. Oh no, whatever God brings, I'll do it. But then God's got to bring the test on to show you. Hello, is there anybody here? Hello. It's not so much that God would know, wants to know what's in you, but he wants you to know what's in you so that you will know exactly where you are, because there's something about it. Sometimes we can fool ourselves and think we're in a place that we're actually not. And so we'll think that we're more spiritual than we really are. So God has to bring the test to let us know where we really need to work, what we really need to work on, and what we really are fine in. There's the reason for the test. He wants to bless you, but he's got to get you ready for it first. So when he says, now, I got to joy. I got to keep my joy up. I got to keep my joy up in the midst of the temptation. Sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes you're going to have to press out a hallelujah through your frown. You're going to have to press out a thank you, Jesus, through all the things that you're going through, because you're not going to feel like praising him. That's when you get into the thing which is called the sacrifice of praise. And I said this, a sacrifice really ain't a sacrifice until it's a sacrifice. Hello? If it's something that you can easily give up, that's an offering, because I offered it up. But if it's something that you could benefit from, something that you could use, something that is dear to you, it is a sacrifice. Because it's something that's coming from you. That's why the people of Israel were to give the best of their flock. Because it was going to be a sacrifice. So if it don't hurt, it's really not a sacrifice. And sometimes when you're going through the test, God wants to really see if he has some worshipers that can give up a sacrifice of praise. Even a sinner can say, thank you, God, when something good happens. Don't even know God. But a true worshiper can say, in all the things that I've been through, everything that I've been, the ups and the downs, I still trust God. I'm hurting right now. I don't have what I think I need. I'm going to lose everything. I'm about to lose my mind, but I still got God, even if I lose my mind. That's a sacrifice. Now, he wants to bring the blessing on the other side of the test. So I just want to tell you today, us to see what we're really strong in the Lord and where we still need to go back to the altar. Hello. He's trying to get us to see where we have gained some level of competence in the spirit, and where we need to just start at the drawing board, just erase our whole plan, start it all over again, so that we can know who we are. Now, what is the blessing? Blessed through the test. But now, what is the blessing? Because now we know what the test is for, but we still would be at a loss if we don't really know what the blessing is. Let me tell you what the blessing is not. The blessing is not a car. Hello? While we're asking God, because I need a new car. It's not that God won't give it. But when he gives the car, the blessing ain't the car. It's not the home. We may want a home. We may be asking the Lord for a home. And God will grant it to us. But the blessing is not the home. We may be asking God for a husband or a wife, or for our husband to get right, or our wife to get right. But it ain't the husband. It ain't the wife. That's the blessing. But then what's the blessing? I've been fasting for all this. I've been looking and asking God for a blessing. And I thought that that was a blessing. Well, what you really need to understand is that material things are rewards. They're rewards. And sometimes they're not rewards. Sometimes the material things are the mercy of God. See, mercy of God is you get something that you don't even deserve. Hello. Sometimes folks pray for husband and wife so long, they ain't really ready for a husband and wife, but God just has some mercy. Just so you can get your peace of mind together, and just so you won't go out there and sin, let me give you somebody. Oh, hello, is there anybody real and woke still in the house? Hello. And so sometimes it's not because of us being faithful, but it's the mercy of God. The material things are just rewards. When God has seen you being faithful in something, he knows what the desires of your heart is, and so he will give you the desire of your heart. If you've been faithful, it is a reward. It's not a blessing. Have I confused you yet? But if you don't know what God gives and you don't know exactly what it is that you have in your hand, you'll misuse it or abuse it. It's not the blessing. And so we come to church and we rejoice and we praise God over the things that we have gotten. That's why folks praise so when they get stuff, but they can't say nothing any other time. Because they're viewing the material things as the blessing. But they're just rewards. Now, see, the thing about it is that these things that are temporary, they cannot be the blessings, because anytime God gives a blessing, if the blessing is eternal. You got to understand that. The blessing that God gives is eternal. So anything that is material that you get can't be the blessing. Because the car will break down. You will sell the car. The house, somebody's going to live in it after you. So the blessing is not the material thing. It's just the reward. Now, I want you to really understand something. I want you to really understand something, because folks get crazy over material stuff. If the thing was a blessing, now get this. If the material thing was the blessing, there wouldn't be so many fights when you get that new car and somebody scratch it up. Folks get crazy. And you are never to see, when God really blesses you, it won't cause you to go crazy. Scratch the car, you done lost your religion over a blessing. Hello. You get a house. If God blesses you with a house, quote unquote, blesses you with a house, and somebody breaks in, you ain't gonna pray for them, because what? You've gotten so crazy over the trivial things of life, and that's what they really are, trivial. They may be only necessary for you to complete the task at hand for the Lord. So they're only rewards. Let's look at what Proverbs 10 and 22 says. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. It didn't say the blessings. You got to see how you read the scripture. It says the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. If the car was a blessing, anything that's mechanical is going to break down. And I don't know about you, but I don't feel well. I kind of feel sad when they tell me how many hundreds of dollars it's going to cost to fix it. You know, because it don't break down until the warranty is over. So then, either the car is a blessing or that scripture ain't true. When you got to pay for the mortgage on that house that God blessed you with and you done knocked over all the pews in the church when you got it because you didn't think they was going to give it to you. You didn't think, you thought they was going to charge you way on the other side of heaven in interest rates, but when they gave it to you, you knocked over everybody and the ushers had to hold you and everybody had to lay, you was just prostrate out over the blessings. But when you get that mortgage and that high gas bill, it's going to cause sorrow. Hello? So then that could not be the blessing. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Let me tell you what the blessing is. The blessing that God gives is the knowledge of Him and His ways. That's why the scripture says the blessing of the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Because once you get rid of that car, it's gone. But once you understand, because God has moved in such a way, He used these things as props to get you to understand His character and what He will and will not do. And once you understand who God is and how He works, you can use that principle wherever you need it. Because the same faith and the same process that you got that car, you can get your own business with the same revelation. So the knowledge of God, it makes rich. The blessing is a knowledge. Now, there's a difference between belief and faith. You may think it's the same, but it's not. Belief, I can believe something is true. I can believe it right in my heart. Faith goes one step further. I believe it's true, but I've gotten to a place where I not just believe it's true, but I'm willing to rest everything on that belief. See, if you've never been sick before, you can read the scripture, and because you know the word of God is the word of God and that everything is true, you can be well and say, I know God is a healer. That's a belief. But if you never had to be put into a position where you had to access that belief, you really don't have faith per se in that thing. You believe it's true. But you ask somebody who's had to rely upon that, where the doctors gave up everything. They said, well, I don't know. We done tried all this. We done went to the specialist, everything. And God brought them out. They have faith. But the healing wasn't the blessing. It was the knowledge that God is faithful. In spite of all the things that I've seen, God has done something with me that maybe He hadn't done with anybody else in this same way. So now I know something more about God than before I went through this test. So now it becomes easier for me when I'm trying to encourage somebody else to have faith in God. It's not just I'm telling you something over what I believe is true from the word, but when you talk to somebody who's had to go through a test and they've come out with the knowledge that God is a healer, it's something in the way that they tell you. It's something in the way that that spirit kind of goes out, and it's some of their faith in them start to encourage you, and it's because of the knowledge of God as being Jehovah Rapha. It's not just a fancy Hebrew term that I picked up, a charismatic term, but when they say it, their spirit seems to leap out at you and begins to encourage your spirit, because they come out with the blessing, and the blessing that they come out with, it maketh you rich. Because they're pouring out of their experience with God. That's what God wants to do with a test. He wants to give you experience with Him. As you're walking along and you go through the test, what you're actually doing is when you get in the test, you think you're walking, but God is really carrying you. And when you think that God is the furthest to you, you really can't see Him because He's so close to you. You look around, you think that He's somewhere else, but really, he's right there holding you. He's right there holding you. And sometimes, that's what it says, sometimes we miss things because they're right under our nose. But the blessing of the Lord, it make it rich. When God shows you something, it's not just for a momentary time. It's not just for something now. But God gives you that which is eternal. And that's why the blessing is eternal. Because whenever you learn something about God, can't nobody take that away from you. Oh, it's etched into your spirit. It's burned into your spirit. And you can pull it up whenever you need it. I may be away from my car. Somebody may steal the car. Somebody, once that's gone, it's gone. But the knowledge of God, and I want to just say this, that about a couple of months ago, I had an intercessor. She got up and gave a testimony about something that God did. And I thought that it was, I don't know if anybody else caught it, but she did not praise God. And she got emotional and began to cry. And she did not praise God because of the thing that she got. But she said something very interesting. She said, it's not about this and that. It's about God showed me that he was faithful. If you're going to really understand this thing, you got to really get to that. Say, it's not about this. I'm not going to trip out. I'm not going to lose my mind and get my head all in the clouds because I got this. Because it's not about that. It's about the knowledge of God. That's where we come to Abraham. We come to Abraham. And we know this story. We know this story. Abraham now, he does not tell his wife. He cannot tell his wife because his wife wouldn't understand. Me and the boy, we're going to go. We're going to go to church. We're going to worship. Come on, boy. Bye. We'll be back. He couldn't tell his wife, I'm going to put my son on the altar and kill him. He couldn't. Couldn't do it. Not saying that she wasn't spiritual, but he had a one-on-one revelation from God, and he was guided by God. He didn't need anything else in the way clouding his judgment and what he knew he had to do. And he went to the mountain. And it says that he got the altar all ready, and son said, I'm sure he got word then. We've done this a whole lot of times. Just like a preacher coming to church. Daddy, where your Bible? You forgetting the main thing. He says, Father, where's the sacrifice? He couldn't even tell his son, lest his son break away and run. He said, well, the Lord's going to provide himself a sacrifice. And it says that the story went that he told his son, and his son began to exercise faith too, probably because he had seen his father exercise faith. And he put his son on the altar and he was ready to take his life. And the angel of the Lord said, hold it. I didn't really want your son. I wanted you. That's why we go through the test, because it's not that God wants the things that he takes from us or allows for us. It's not because he wants that. He really wants us. He really wants our heart. And so he says, hold it. Now I know. And in the sense of how it's written, it's not really that God did not know. But he was relating it in terms that we understand. He really wanted Abraham to know. And it was a test so that he could get the blessing that God already wanted to give to him. You got to understand that there are some things that God wants to give to you that you didn't even ask for. There's some things that are so big and so great that God really wants to give you that you don't even think about even asking for. Hello? That's going back to that scripture. Above all that you can ask or even think. God said, I want to give this to you, but I got to get you in the right place so that the blessing don't kill you once you get it. So, he says, now that I know that I got your heart, I know that you won't even withhold from me your only son. I can now begin to bless you. Now, what you need to understand is this, and I'll be through it in a little bit, but what you need to understand is this, You can say, well, yeah, but that was Abraham. I don't know. I done messed up so many times. And this thing has come up, and it seems like every time this thing comes up, I always fail the test. And many times we don't like to really worship before God because, not because we're not worshipers, but because we feel a sense of inadequacy before God. We may have failed time and time again, and we feel as if we've let God down. And so instead of running back to him for another test, we then retreat. We retreat out of shame. You've been so good to me, and I just done messed up. I just can't even show my face in the house of God because you've been so good. But we're talking about Abraham here. Let me back you up about Abraham's life. Yes, we know him now as the father of faith. And it says that we are Abraham's seed because we are his seed by faith. But Abraham wasn't always here. Abraham wasn't always here. Abraham wasn't the man that said, I believe God. I believe God that even if I kill him, God is going to bring him. No, Abraham wasn't always like that. Let me tell you something about Abraham's life. Let me tell you just a few things about Abraham's life. This was the man that obeyed God in the sense of that he left his family. It says that when Abraham's father died, God told him to leave his family and go to a place that I'll show you. Now that showed faith in the sense of he left not knowing where he was going. He said, okay, that was good. That was good. That was a man of God. But he didn't fully obey. He took Lot. He failed the test. Hello. I'm talking to those who have failed tests. I'm talking to those who feel the inadequacies of wanting to do the things of God, but feeling that I'm only human. I failed here again. I failed God. That's who I'm really talking to. He failed God even when he operated in faith. He operated in partial faith because he couldn't just really see himself leaving with just his wife and himself and a couple of a duffel bag and the rest. He said, at least I got to take my nephew Lot. He messed up there. This was the same Abraham that went down into Egypt and did not trust God enough to say, yes, this is my wife. But he wanted to try to save himself. This is the same man that failed the test when he went into Egypt and said, this is my sister. God had to reveal it. And he said, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? My goodness. Then he left. This is the same man that after he had done that, he couldn't believe God enough that God would give him his own child. So he slept with his wife's servant. This is the same man failed another test. But still he was a man of God. He was still called the friend of God. Yet he failed another test. Seems like if you fail one test, you won't fail that test again. He met up with the king Abimelech. Did the same thing he did down in Egypt. Told King Abimelech, this is my sister, told the same dumb lie. He didn't get away with it the first time, but doubt still caused him to lie again. Same man. But what you need to understand is the failing of those tests in his life. God didn't do it for him to fail, but God did it so he would know where he needed help in. So all of those mighty, many tests were actually one big test. They were equal up to one big test. And now we come to the final exam. We come to the final exam. And so he says here, the only reason that you were able to act in faith here is because you went through all those tests. And every test that you went through, you learned a little bit more about my faithfulness. You learned a little bit more because I can imagine, just as we think, that once we make one mistake, we think that we have been totally disqualified. Oh, I done blew it. I've been called to be a worship leader, and I done blew it. I can't sing because I feel like such a hypocrite. Oh, I'm supposed to be a prayer warrior, but I done messed up. Oh, I couldn't even pray for that person that hurt me. What kind of worship leader am I? Oh, what kind of prayer? So we think that a failed test means disqualification. When in fact, it's really God bringing us to another test. Because when you look at it, when you're in school, it's not always one test that fails you. You have quizzes. And sometimes those quizzes are pop quizzes. You know, we get those things. You come in laughing from recess or laughing because now it's Monday. You done had a good weekend. All of a sudden, the teacher comes in with a straight face and throws down a quiz to see how have you been studying or have you just been having fun over the weekend. We got some weekend saints, Elder. They don't begin to pray. They don't begin to prepare themselves until the test. And they start to do like other folks do. You know, if we didn't study, we try to look for the one who we know is always studying. And that's what we do in the church. We have been in recess too long, and then we try to gather around those that have been in the face of the Lord. Can you pray for me? Can you? And they trying to seek God for themselves, and you trying to pull on their anointing, hoboing on their anointing. And the test comes, and we ain't ready. All it takes, is one phone call to bring us into a test. Everything can be going fine, and we get that one phone call. Going to work and get that one meeting. Everything we thought was fine, now we found out. Oh, we're in the midst of a test. What do I do? Do I fall apart? Do I get closer to the Lord? But everything that we go into is just for God to show us a little bit more about himself. And so every time Abraham failed, I can just imagine he learned something new about God. God was a forgiving God. He didn't excuse what he did, but see, the scripture says the goodness of the Lord leads us to repentance, to change our mind, to make our mind more in line with God. And so when God don't disqualify you, when God don't bring down the wrath on you, you ought to not just say, oh, I got away with another. You ought to say, thank God I can praise you a little bit more because I know a little bit more about your goodness. You're not just a God of wrath, but you're a God that loves me in spite of me. Just when you think, that's why. You know, many times we get religious and we say, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all the things that he's done for me, my soul cries out. We ought to just begin sometimes just to think about how many times we fail God and God still keeps us around. If it was for me and what I did, I wouldn't even be here. I wouldn't have no reason to be able to tell anybody about the ways of God because if you know it or not, everybody got clay feet. It's not because of your goodness. And so it was because of all those things. As I can just imagine, as Abraham is walking to the mountain, taking his son, every step he's taking, I can just imagine he's thinking about all the times that he's failed God. And thinking about how God has been good to him and how now I got a chance to be blessed because God has blessed me before. God has blessed me, but I'm not looking at the cattle that I have. I'm not looking at all the wealth that I have. I'm looking at the blessings that God has given to me. Now I know what God has done. Now I know that he hasn't excused me, but God has still kept me even though I messed up. I'm not going to mess up this time. You need to have some determination in your walk before the Lord where you say, I messed up in this area before, but I'm not going to mess up again because God has blessed me with the knowledge of him. So he goes and he's ready. He's already seen his boy dead. But he knows God's faithful. Because of that, get this. Because of that, God told him, you passed the test. Now I'm going to do something for you you didn't even ask for. He said, your seed will be like the sands of the seashore. I know you didn't ask for it. I know you didn't ask for this great island. I know you didn't even think folks were still going to be talking about you 4,000 years after your death. I'm going to bless you so tough till even your memory will cause folks to shout. Just because you took the time to know me. God said, I'm going to make everything. I'm going to kind of make the plan of salvation. It's going to come really through and out of you in the natural sense. I'm going to bless you till out of your body and out of your seed, down through the Messiah is going to come through you. All because he took the time to know him. Can I jump to the New Testament and we'll be through? Paul said, that I may know him. I've had great success being a rabbinical scholar. I've had it great sitting at the feet of Gamaliel. I've had people just honor me just because of my schooling. I've had great authority. I could just tell a group of folks to come and we gonna get all those Christians, and I have my word, I can have Stephen Stone. But he got to the point where he said, all these material things, they ain't worth nothing. But he said that I may know him. That's the blessing. Because if I know him, I can have everything. You don't get it. You don't get it. The more that I know him, the more I can get anything I want. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. God wants to bless somebody with the knowledge of him that you will know how to run a godly business. You ain't got to scheme nobody. You ain't got to try to underhand the tricks like everybody else. All you need to do is know God and operate your thing out of the knowledge of God. God said, it will make you rich. It may not be that you want to get your own business. It may be that you want to have a better marriage. The knowledge of God will cause you to make your marriage rich. You may want to have your family to be looked up to by other families that they can see a godly family. The knowledge of the Lord. It ain't about marriage books. It ain't about going out. Those things are good. But it's about knowing God and knowing his ways. It said it will make even your kids start acting right. That I may know him. So it don't matter if I'm stoned and left for dead. It don't matter if I'm in a shipwreck. It don't matter if a snake latched hold to my hand and I almost could have died. It didn't matter. All those things were tested. I shook it off because I knew God and my life is risked that I may know him. The test then don't matter because I can rejoice through the test. Because I'm not looking at the test. I'm looking on what's on the other side of the test. That's what I'm keeping my focus in on. Because God's going to bring me out of this. And if God's going to bring me out of this, I don't need to be focused in on this temporary jump. Job said it, I'm through. He says, when I come forth. He said, yeah, I may be complaining. I may be tripping. But in the moment that I got faith in the midst of my test, I still look up to God and say, when I get out of this, when you bring me out of this, when I shall come forth, I'm coming forth as pure gold. God is just trying to make me and mold me. And see, a lot of folks, think about this. Now you can stand to your feet because I'm through. You can stand to your feet. I'm through. But a lot of folks say, well, God don't use the devil's tactics. But it's not really about the test that teaches you anything. The test don't really teach you anything. But just as it is in school, it's the teacher that teaches, but she uses a blackboard. Don't worry. Your test is just a blackboard. It's just the thing that the Holy Ghost is using to teach you. But it's the Holy Spirit that's the teacher. And you need to understand, God's going to bring you out of this. And if you come through the test right, knowing God is on your side, no matter how many times you fall down, you better get right back up. Because the more that you get up, the more you know about God. And when it comes time for the big test, you will be victorious. And God will start giving you stuff and rewarding you with stuff that you didn't even ask for. I tell folks, and I'm going to pray. I tell folks, exercise your imagination. Think about the greatest thing, the most outlandish thing that God could probably do for you. Just get that on your mind. And start walking with God in faith. God's going to do more than even what you asked for. Solomon asked for one thing. God had said, I'll give you that answer. We serve the God of the abundant. I just want to encourage anybody here today. If you're in a test right now, if you're going through anything right now, get your mind off of what you're going through. Because if you focus in on the test, somebody's watching you to see how you handle your test. Sometimes you are a witness just by how you go through a test. Somebody's going to be encouraged. Somebody may be getting ready to accept the Lord based upon how you go through your test. You may not even get a chance to hand them a tract. You may not even get a chance to say, do you know the Lord, and lead them through the sinner's prayer. But just by them seeing you go through stuff and they holding their head like, how in the world are they going to come out of here? Oh, I would die if I had. Oh, I would lose my mind. And when they see you holding on to the horns of the altar and say, I ain't going to let you go. And they see you come out and say, well, I knew I was going to come out. And when they start to smell your clothes and they say, you don't even smell like smoke. They get to touching on your clothes. They say, I know you went through the water, but it didn't overflow you. They will say, I've got to know the God that you know. Just because you know him, I got to know him, that I may know him. Mind the test. Just to know him. I can go through the test just to know him. And when I know him, the thing that's going to make me rich is the power. I can speak it and know it's done. I can know what God has said and rest on it. The power of his resurrection. I shall come out of this. You may look at me and I may be dead in this situation, but I'm coming out because of the power of his resurrection that I may attain by any means. I don't care what God has to put on me. If he's going to bless me with more knowledge of him, it don't matter by any means necessary. God, make me God. Stretch your hands. Just worship him. God just wants to let you know. I just came here just to tell you. God's going to bless you, but he's going to bless you through the test. He wants to bless you. You don't have to wrestle a blessing out of his hand. You don't have to try to manipulate a blessing out of the Lord's hand, because God wants to bless you, but he knows that the only way to really give it to you is through the test. He's not trying to destroy you, but he is trying to kill you. He's trying to kill out that pride. He's trying to kill out that arrogance. He's trying to kill out that low self-esteem. He's trying to kill out that victimization spirit. He's not trying to destroy you, but he's trying to kill you so he can resurrect you. He wants to call some Lazarus forth. He wants to call you out of the place where people have placed you and where you have placed yourself. The final resting place. We think many times we've gotten to the final resting place, but God still wants to call our name and tell us to come forth. You may think you're too old for God to do it, but God is still calling your name and saying, come forth. The grave was just a test. That's why he said, I'm glad that you didn't let me get here on time. That somebody can know that I am the resurrection and the life. You need to come forth. God's going to bring you out. He's going to cut the grave clothes off of you. You're going to be dead, but God is going to cause you to stand up. And you're going to come out knowing that he is the one that holds all things. Lord Jesus, we bless your name. Lord, we thank you, God, because you are high and you are lifted up, Lord. You see our situation from a vantage point, Lord, that we cannot see. So we've got to trust you that you have the plan for our life and that our steps are ordered by you, even the steps that lead us into the wilderness, God, even as you led your son Jesus into the wilderness for the purpose of the test. So you will lead our steps into our own personal wilderness. But Lord, even as you did with our example, our Savior, our Lord, our God, Jesus, you said, Lord, that when he came out of the desert, he came out with the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we're going to come out of this thing. And we're going to come out of it with power. God, we thank you. You want to bless us with more than what we deserve. Somebody's going to get a reward, but don't get focused in on the reward. Look at the faithfulness of God. Don't start tripping on the house. God's going to bless somebody with a house. Don't start tripping on the house. God's going to bless the works of your hands. You've got something in your spirit that you want to accomplish. Something that you're talented in. Don't trip on it when God gives it to you. It's only a reward. Look at the faithfulness of God. When God brings it to pass, it's going to be better than what you imagined in your wildest dreams. I'm talking to somebody's spirit right now. It's going to be better than anything you could have laid out, anything anybody could have explained to you. God's going to bless it. Overseer, God placed you in that position as overseer, not just of the church, but of the Western District. There's a lot of things that you got in your spirit. Got to keep it. Don't lay nothing on the shelf. He's going to prosper the works of your hands. It's only a test. Setbacks are only that. Setbacks. Didn't mean set down. It didn't mean put off. It didn't mean throw away. Just means set back. God sometimes wants to do some things in us, even as leaders, to prepare us because he wants to take us to a place that we're not able to handle at that moment because it's bigger than us. But God says, I got to get you strengthened so you can handle it. Not that you're not worthy, but he's just trying to work you up a little bit more. It's not over. God says it's not over yet. It's not near that over yet. He's going to do it. The dreams for here. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. No matter what the final red line or black line, what the final figure is, it don't matter. Matter of fact, I'm hearing God say, whatever that figure is, scratch that out because it's going to be more than that. Because God wants to do more than what you even planned inside of yourself. Because as God walks you through this, he's going to show you some more things that will make it more excellent. God says, stretch your cords. Stretch your cords. Stretch your cords. It's got to be bigger. Stretch stretch cords. It's just a test. It's just a test. But you're going to come through it. You're going to pass. God's going to say, now I know. But it's not so that he'll know. But it's so every doubt that you may even have about what you can do and what the folks around you can do and what the folks want to do. God said, I want you to know. It's going to be bigger than you could ever imagine. The city, that's a light thing. That's a light thing. No matter what obstacles come up, it's a light thing. He wants to do more than that. Tape ministry and video ministry, light thing. He wants to do more than that. As God blesses him, everybody who is really with him, not everybody who is a part of a ministry is really with the vision. But God is saying to everyone who is with the vision, you've got to be pulled up too. Because every level that he goes up, he needs something underneath him to make sure that his hands are still held up. So if he goes up, you got to go up too. And as you prosper in what you're doing and it aids the vision of what the man of God is doing for this ministry, he's going to bless the works of your personal hands. As he goes up, as the things that God has placed inside of him goes up, everything that's inside of you is going to start going up. And it's going to start going up with. Now listen to this. Listen to this. And I'm through. I'm going to sit down. I promise you. He's going to do it with ease.
We pray that you have been blessed by the word of God. For other messages or to leave prayer requests, write us at Refuge and Strength, Full Gospel Assembly, 4727 South Wabash Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60615. Or call us at area code 773-538-5993. May God bless you and keep you.